Best to train them while they're young. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles with, turn with me please to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. When you find your place there, go to Nehemiah chapter number 4. I want you to look at two verses out of the book of Nehemiah this morning. The children of Israel were sent back to rebuild the wall Nehemiah went back with a number of construction workers. There were people from every tribe, and in Nehemiah chapter 3, we find that every tribe was mentioned, and the key families of those tribes are all mentioned. And every one of those tribes and every one of those key families had a portion of the wall that they needed to build. They had their own responsibility to rebuild the wall going around Jerusalem. And in chapter number 4 and verse number 15, we find this. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to, notice the next two words, his work. His work. They all had a responsibility. They had a responsibility to build the portion of the wall that God told them to build. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 21. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I to the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard unto us, and they labored on the day. We find there in verse number 21, so we labored in the work. You see, each and every one of us have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to the work that God has called us to. And the work that God has called us to, I believe that God wants us to be faithful laborers in that work. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 1 through verse number 4. The Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. More of it's required in stewards that a man be found, everybody, what does it say? Faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and they shall have every man And they shall every man have praise of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to break the bread of life. Lord, give me the grace and the wisdom, and Lord, the ability to communicate your word in an effective manner. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would take the burdens of life and Lord, the busyness of life, and Lord, cast it aside. And Lord, help us to be attentive to your word. And Lord, help us to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ today that we might learn some things. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that is distant from you, I pray, Lord, that they would you would draw them by your Holy Spirit back to a place of service. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's lost, Lord, I pray that they would get saved. Help them to realize, Lord, that you love them and you died for them on the cross of Calvary and shed your blood that they might have forgiveness. I pray, Lord, now your richest blessing upon thy people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember hearing a story about a young man that got his first church and he began to pastor it. It was a small country church and it only had a few members, and so he decided he was going to go out and drum up some work on the side so he could feed his family and take care of his obligations. So he was thinking, what can I do to have time to go ahead and take care of the ministry and plus go ahead and take care of my family? And so he thought, you know what? I think I'll get a job. Maybe I'll do a little painting. So he was driving down the road and he saw this old farm, and there was a dilapidated barn out there. And he drove by it, and then he drove by it another day, and the next day he drove by that barn again. He thought, you know what? That barn needs a good old-fashioned paint job. And I think I'm going to stop there and see if if I could paint that barn, maybe earn a little bit of money. And so he stopped by there, and the farmer was out in the barnyard, and he said, "Hey, I'm the new preacher down at such and such church." And he said, "I'm bivocational. I'm just trying to earn a little extra money for my family. And would you like to have me paint the barn for you?" He says, "Oh," he says, "well," he says, "it really does need a coat of paint." He says, "What would you charge?" He says, "Well," he says, "oh," he says, "I'll have to think about that." He says, "Well, let me know." So he came back the next day, and he says, "Well," he says, "I think I could go ahead and paint the barn for $250. And the farmer looked at him, "Does that include paint?" "Oh, yeah, that includes paint." And so he says, "Sure, you go right ahead. You paint that barn for $250. And so he went down to the hardware store, and he bought himself three or four gallons of barn paint, and he started painting. And he got one side done, and he realized he was going to be out of paint. And he didn't have a lot of money to spend on this project. He'd already spent some of the money on his family, and the guy paid him up front for the job. And so he thought, how in the world am I going to go ahead and get this taken care of? He used 2 gallons of paint on the one side of the barn, and then he was going to have 2 gallons to go ahead and cover the rest of the barn. He thought, man, I'm in trouble. What can I do? So he went down with a little bit of money he had left, and he bought some paint thinner. He says, I'm just going to thin this paint out and make it stretch. And so he thinned that paint out to like it was like water. It was nice and bright red, but it was like water. And so he finished painting the rest of the barn, and it looked really good. And it dried. The next day, it rained. And all of a sudden, the one side that was painted real nice, it would turned out real good with all the right proper coatage of paint. And then the other side turned pink. And the farmer said, what in the world is going on? I've got a pink barn. You know what my other farmers around here are going to say? I've got a pink barn. You've got to fix this. The young preacher thought, man, what am I going to do? I don't have any money to fix this barn. And so he told the farmer, he says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And he says, well, you're going to take care of this because I can't have a pink barn. And he says, I'll be the laughing stock of this county. So the young preacher began to pray. He says, Lord, I did the best I knew how to do. He says, but I don't know what can I do, Lord? What can I do? And all of a sudden there was a voice from heaven that said, repaint and thin no more. All right? Listen. That might seem a little corny, but there's a lesson in this. That young man had the responsibility to be a good steward over what God had entrusted him with. And that was a job. A job to go ahead and paint this man's barn and be a good testimony. And unfortunately, he did not count the cost ahead of time, and it cost him the opportunity to be a good witness. I believe that each and every one of us need to understand that we are to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1 through 4. And I want you to see some things today. It says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and, what's that next word? Stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found, everybody, what? Faithful. God wants us as stewards to be found faithful. Now the question is, young people, what is a steward? What is a steward? So I'd like to be one of those, but I'm not too sure what a steward is. A steward is someone who is a manager. Someone that watches over the affairs for someone else. And God has allowed us to be a steward of what He has given us. You say, well, preacher, God hasn't given me anything. Oh, that's not true. Whether you're young or you're old. How old are you? Right here, in the orange jacket. You're 10? Okay. You know God's given you some things. All right? Adam, how old are you? I won't ask that to your wife, all right? But how old are you?
29, he's lying, all right? And 29 and adding, right? Okay. And so God has given you some things. Isn't that correct? All right. Michael, God has given you some things. And my wife, God has given you some things. Every person here, whether young or old, Avery, God has given you some things. You know that? You see, God has given us all some things. And whatever God has given us, God wants us to be a faithful manager of those things. And I really believe that if we are going to build our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going to build our lives for God, what we must do, we must be faithful in stewardship. Now, a lot of times we think about stewardship, the thing we want to think about is money, but it goes way beyond that. If that's all you think about, you've really missed the mark when it comes to the idea of stewardship. Because God wants us to be a faithful manager over all the things that God has given us. Fathers, God has given you a family. He wants you to be a faithful father. Wives, He has given you a family. He's given you a children. He's given you a home. He wants you to be a faithful manager over those things. Children, God has given you some things. One day, would you like to drive a car? Would you like to drive a car one day? You would? All right. What type of car would you like to drive?
Lamborghini.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't we all? Yeah. I'd like to have a Lamborghini. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you something, young man. Before you get a Lamborghini, you got to learn to make your bed. All right? You got to learn to pick up your own clothes. You got to learn to go ahead and do the chores around the house. And by the way, mom and dad, if your kids can't pick up after themselves and they can't make their own bed, you shouldn't give them car keys. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Amen. So here's the thing. We have all been, I saw that elbow in the back row. Amen. And you know, we've all been given responsibilities, haven't we? Young people have been given responsibilities of doing chores and picking up after themselves. Why in the world do you think that you have to have your mommy pick up after you all the time, teenager? Amen? You ought to put your own clothes away and take care of things. Children, they have homework and chores and cleaning their room and making their bed and brushing their teeth and washing behind their ears. Listen, all of those things. We all have responsibilities that we need to take care of. If you are an employer, you have responsibilities to your employees to make sure that they're paid an honest wage and that they're taken care of and treated with respect. If you are an employee, you have a responsibility to be productive instead of a gold brick. You have a responsibility. You say, what in the world is a gold brick? Something just sits there, looks good, doesn't do anything. That's what a gold brick is. We have a responsibility to go ahead and be productive. We have a responsibility to have quality products, and we have a responsibility to be punctual. We have a responsibility as an employee to have a good attitude. Nothing worse than having employees that have a bad attitude. You see, I think that we need to understand that what we do with our stewardship will affect our lives. Amen? And what you do with your stewardship and what you do right now, young man, in your own home will determine, I really believe it'll determine what type of car you're going to drive later. So you better be faithful in doing the little things, and that way God will give you much later. Because if you're not faithful in the little things, God won't give you anything later. That's a biblical principle. And I'm not saying God's going to give you a Lamborghini. And if God gives you a Lamborghini, I want you to come and take me for a ride in it, all right? That'd be great. Matter of fact, I'll say, move over, let me drive. But as we build our lives for God, I believe that we need to be faithful stewards in what God has given us. A faithful steward should realize that there are basically five fundamentals of stewardship that I think that we need to understand today. Five fundamental truths about this passage of Scripture. Number one, look at verse number one. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. There are some key words that I want to point out in this passage of Scripture. And this might help you with your car in the future, all right? So you pay attention, young man, all right? I want you to notice it says, that Paul said that they were ministers. Well, what is a minister? You say, well, I'm not a minister. Certainly you are. Everybody ministers in some fashion or form. You might be a good minister, you might be a bad minister. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I didn't say that. It just says minister. And a minister, according to Strong's, it means to row. Like if you're in a rowboat. I was raised during the years when Hercules was a big theme on TV. Little kid, and Hercules was a guy that could pick up big boulders. And I remember when Hercules, they first found him, they put him in a boat. And they chained him to this boat that had oars. And all. There was a guy up there going with a big drum, you know, thump, thump, thump. And everybody was underneath there and they were rowing. And Hercules was chained to the oars underneath the boat. How many of you remember that movie? Oh, hey, all right. Now you know I'm not making it up. So anyway, he was rowing underneath that boat. And pretty soon, Hercules got stronger and stronger. And he was underneath that boat rowing. And the boat started spinning in circles because he was so strong, he was out paddling the other side. So they hooked him up to both sides. So here was a 150-foot boat, and Hercules was rowing the whole thing by himself. He was an under-oarsman. That's what the word minister means. He is someone who is under, and he is rowing. My stewardship, we need to realize, my stewardship has been granted to me by God. God has placed me under His authority. And He says, now, He says, Rick, I want you to row. I want you to get busy. I want you to do something for me. Look, if you would please hold your place here. Look at Luke chapter 16 and look at verse number 1 and 2. In Luke 16 it says, and He said unto them also, and He said also unto His disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And so here was a man that had a lot, and he heard that his employee, if you would please, wasted his goods. And so the boss called him on the carpet and said, you know what, I've heard this of thee. You're no longer allowed to work for me anymore. That's putting it in modern lingo. All right? So I want you to understand that my stewardship and your stewardship and your stewardship has been given to you by God. And so therefore we are to be the best stewards that we need to be. On Saturday, Greg, when you say I do and Rebecca says I do, all of a sudden a new stewardship is going to be placed upon you. And when Rebecca's dad hands you Rebecca's hand and you take her hand and you stand before the minister and she says I do and you say I do and the preacher says it's done, now all of a sudden you've assumed a new responsibility. Responsibility of being a husband, responsibility of being a lover and a leader of the home. Don't take it lightly. And every person that said those vows need to take that responsibility and take it. Make sure we do the best we can. My stewardship has been granted to me by God. I have no right to abuse the stewardship that's been given to me. We have no right to abuse our relationships and our family. We have no right to abuse our children. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no right to abuse your spouse. Words of encouragement, words of help, words of edification are always most important in any relationship. We have a responsibility towards our salvation. Are you saved today? Then God is, if you're saved, God has given you a responsibility to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do something with it. We have a responsibility with our possessions. If we abuse our possessions, God will take those possessions away. So number one, the faithful steward realizes he is under divine authority. That's the first truth. We are ministers. We are an under oarsman. Someone commanded just to row. God's beating the drum. He tells us how fast and how long to row we are to row. Number two, look at verse number one. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards. The word steward means a house distributor. In other words, a manager, an overseer, a fiscal agent, or a treasurer. Number two, a faithful steward realizes he is under divine responsibility. Not only am I under divine authority, but I'm under divine responsibility. I've got a responsibility. I know of a woman that had a car. And it wasn't a very nice car, but it got her from one place to another. And I noticed that where the car was parked, there was a big puddle of oil. The oil was pretty black. And I said to her, I said, hey, when's the last time you had that car serviced? She said, what do you mean? I said, when was the last time you had your oil changed and your filters changed? Oh, I don't change my oil. I just add to it. I says, what do you mean you don't change it? She says, I just keep adding to it and adding to it. That's not the way to take care of a car. And needless to say, she didn't have that car very long, and the car was found dead on the road. By the way, that spells Ford, doesn't it? But anyway, I'm just kidding. I like Ford, actually. Listen. All right. It's a joke, all right? By the way, Ford also means first on race day, all right? Boy, I've redeemed myself, right? I haven't figured out an acrostic for Chevy yet, but I'm sure there's one out there. No, come on now. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful in our responsibility, verse number one, stewards. This woman was not faithful in maintaining her car. There was a man that I know of that was pastoring a small church, and he took this church, and he didn't like the job that the treasurer was doing, so he took the job away from the treasurer, and he says, I'm going to do it myself. Not a good idea. And so for the next 8 months, the pastor, he got the mail, and he took all the bills and threw them in a box, and he made sure that he himself got paid, and after there was no more money in the checking account, he resigned and moved to another church, and then the church found out that everything was ready to be shut off, and the bank was ready to foreclose on their building, and he was a very poor steward of what God had given him. You see, as a pastor, I have a divine responsibility placed upon my shoulder. As a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a student, as an employer, as an employee, we all have divine responsibilities placed upon us, and we need to do the best that we can, because moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so I want you to notice, number one, a faithful steward realizes he's under divine authority. Number two, a faithful steward realizes he's under divine responsibility. Number three, a faithful steward realizes he is under a divine command. Verse number two, it says in this great chapter, moreover, it's required. It is required that a man be found faithful. Required. You know, there's a lot of things in life. Well, if you do them, fine. If you don't do them, that's fine too. But you know what? There's just some things that are required of you. And here he says, as a minister, as a steward, it's required that we're found faithful. The word required means to be about or to be busy in. This is something that God has commanded. We are to be busy. In Luke chapter number 19 and verse 13, God tells us that every believer is called to be busy serving God. And he called unto them, the Bible says in Luke 19:13, he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And that word occupy is a word of diligent action. It is from a root word that means to walk, to set in motion, and to continue in motion. The servant is to labor diligently, never letting up, and using all that the Lord has given to him to use it for his glory. In other words, don't quit. Don't sit down. People say, preacher, you're too busy. You got too many things going on. I agree, I got a lot of things going on. But you know, one of the things I don't want to be guilty of is just sitting down and not doing anything. We're required to be found faithful. Keep busy. Point number four, about stewardship of life. In verse number two, it says, found faithful. You know, God has not required you to be eloquent. God has not required you to be brilliant. God has not required you to be loaded with ability. God has not required you to be successful in man's eyes. He has not required you to get straight A's on your grade card. He's required you to be faithful. The word faithful means that you are trustworthy for that which has been committed to your trust. Back on July 12th of 1987, there were six preachers that came to Grace Baptist Church and they laid their hands on me and they prayed over me and I was ordained into the gospel ministry. And one of the things that they said, Rick, there has been a divine responsibility laid upon you and now you need to be faithful. Have I been perfect? Heavens, no. Have I made mistakes? Certainly, as we all have. But one of the things I've strived to do in my life, I've strived to be faithful. You see, the faithful steward realizes not only he's under divine command, but we are also under divine obligation. Those men that laid hands on me invested their lives into me. One of them was my pastor for several years. He was responsible in coming to my home and leading my wife to the Lord, which ended up in result, she got me to go to church, and then the associate pastor led me to the Lord. You know, I felt obligated to them. I felt obligated to the fact that, you know what, they invested in my life. They came over and they discipled me and helped me to learn the Word of God. I felt responsible. The pastor of the church that I was serving in where I was called to preach, he taught me and trained me to do the work of God. I felt responsible and I had an obligation to him. You know, those individuals that invest in your life, you ought to have some sense of obligation to them, I would think. Amen? And the one that invests in your life more than anyone is the Lord. You see, the faithful steward realizes he's under divine obligation. Found faithful, trustworthy. There's been some that haven't been trustworthy over the years. And one day, it'll all be revealed. Let me just close with this. Number five, the faithful steward. The faithful steward is not only under divine authority and under divine responsibility and under a divine command and under divine obligation, but he is under a divine accountability. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 4, it says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. In Romans 14 and verse number 12, it says, so then every one of us must give account of himself before God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One day, each and every one of you young men are going to stand before God. And God is going to be up on his throne and you're going to bow your knees before him and you're going to to give an account of all the things that you've done in your life. Ah, that's how I feel about it. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And so, one day I'm going to have to give an account. One day you're going to have to give an account. A faithful steward realizes that he is under divine accountability. There was a missionary that we supported that went overseas, and he was receiving support from many different churches. And I got word that he was not using his finances properly. So myself and another minister, another pastor, contacted him, and he wouldn't return our calls. He was taking the money and investing it in property down in Florida. And he got into a lot of trouble. Make a long story short, he's no longer in the ministry. What's even worse, he's no longer married. You see, he failed to be accountable. When the head of the mission board contacted him, he says, "I don't have to give an answer to you." Oh, yes, he did. And one thing he failed to understand, one day he was going to give an account to God. We entrusted him to reach those people over in Europe with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but instead he was trying to be a business and a financial wizard down on investment properties in Florida. You see, we're under divine accountability. There was a man in Toledo, Ohio here a few years ago that ran a funeral home, and he charged people money for cremations. Instead of cremating the bodies, he just stored the bodies in a big warehouse. Well, you probably remember the stories. Wrong thing to do. I don't know how long he thought that those things could go unnoticed without something. Yeah, exactly. Well, needless to say, he got into a lot of trouble. You see, there are people that fail to realize we're under divine accountability. I think of men like Lester Roloff, ran a home for young people and even older people, people with all kinds of addictions, and alcoholism and drugs. He would take them, turn their lives around for the glory of God. And he went through a battle with the state of Texas, and they said, "You have to have a license." He says, "I don't have to have a license. My license comes from God." And they threw him in jail, and they did all kinds of things. But the bottom line was, Lester Olof was faithful to the end. We must give an account of ourselves to God. One day the books are going to be opened. Another book is going to be opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are going to be judged out of those things that are written in the books according to their works. You know, thank God, there is one above all others who has been a faithful steward, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God had appointed him to be our mediator. He appointed him to be our sacrifice. And Jesus Christ faithfully fulfilled all the responsibilities and obligations that was laid upon him. And because of that, young people, listen to me. You can be saved today. You can have forgiveness of all of your sin. All because of what the faithful steward, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to come down the aisle in just a minute when we give an invitation. You ought to say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me." If we are going to build our lives for God, you got to be a good steward. You got to be a good overseer of what God has given you. God has given you a chance to be saved. Be a good steward of that opportunity. Tomorrow, that opportunity may not be there. Let's take advantage of the opportunity today. Let's bow our heads, please.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, I want to ask a question this morning. And that question is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ? And today, if you know Christ as your Savior, you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Could you raise your hand as a testimony that I know the Lord? Can I see your hand today? I know the Lord. May put your hands down. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, God has given you an opportunity to respond. He wants you to be a good steward of that opportunity. How many here today could say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I am concerned about my soul. Pray for me." Can I see your hand this morning? Pray for me. God bless you. Pray for me. God bless you. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, during the invitation hymn, we invite you to come and trust Christ. The old song says, "Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you." Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You'd bless us, Lord, with Your presence. Lord, work in our hearts. Save those, Lord, that's lost without Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our lives, Lord, and I pray that You'd help each and every one of us to realize the importance of being a good steward for Thee. And Lord, as we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to build with good stewardship in mind. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're under divine accountability, divine obligation, divine responsibility. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. I pray, Lord, that You just bless in a great way. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name.